Michigan's Children proudly presents Speaking for Kids, the podcast where we explore crucial conversations impacting the lives of all Michigan children, youth, and families, especially the most vulnerable. Join us each month as we explore public policies and issues in the best interest of our kids and families. We'll bring you lawmakers and policymakers, advocates fighting for change, and the people most affected by those decisions. With our host, Matt Gillard, President and CEO of Michigan's Children, we'll invite you to become engaged too and show you how to take action on what matters most to you. Episodes are recorded live and shared virtually on YouTube and the audio hosting sites Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Speaking for Kids, the podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children. I'm Matt Gillard, the President and CEO of Michigan's Children, and I'm excited today to have another timely topic to discuss, centered around what we're hearing about a lot, an issue that a lot of people are hearing about, as cuts coming down from the federal government, specifically today around the U.S. Department of Education and some of the changes and cuts we've already seen either enacted or proposed, and the impact that these potential cuts and already enacted cuts could have, especially on children with disabilities. So we're especially excited to have three really experts in this field join us today for the conversation, and I will let them introduce themselves and then we'll jump right into it. Thanks again for everybody for tuning in. Just for purposes, we are recording this episode on May 1st, 2025. So we're excited to be joined today by Dawn Koger, the Director of Early Childhood at Oakland Schools, Heather Eckner, the Director of Statewide Education at Autism Alliance, and Laura Sauer, the Executive Director of the ARC Livingston. So Dawn, you want to introduce yourself first?
Sure. My name is Dawn Koger. I'm the Director of Early Childhood at Oakland Schools. Oakland Schools is the intermediate school district in Oakland County. And I am also the Early Childhood Administrators Network Chair, which is the early childhood group of all ISD early childhood administrators in the state of Michigan.
And Heather.
Hi, I'm Heather Eckner. I serve as the Director of Statewide Education for the Autism Alliance of Michigan. The organization overall leads efforts to raise expectations and expand opportunities. And under the education pillar, we're driving efforts and initiatives that address root causes of systemic barriers for all kids with disabilities across the education system.
Excellent. And Laura.
Thank you. My name is Laura Sauer. I am the Executive Director of the ARC Livingston. We are a local ARC chapter in Livingston County, Michigan. We're an advocacy agency that serves individuals with developmental disabilities and their families, and that includes educational advocacy.
Excellent. Well, like I said, we're very excited to have three experts in this field join us today for this important conversation. And as I alluded to in the intro, you know, this is a chaotic time, obviously, politically and from an advocacy perspective, with so much happening and so much potentially happening and the balls kind of bouncing all over the court. But one thing that we've seen kind of consistently and are gearing up for and obviously very concerned about are attacks on the United States Department of Education and potential funding that comes from the federal government to the states and to local organizations centered around the U.S. Department of Education. So we'll jump right into that. And I'll ask this of all of you. I guess, Dawn, we'll start with you. But what are some of the most immediate consequences you could foresee if Department of Education experiences major funding cuts or we see a major reduction in federal funding supports, particularly for programs that are serving children with disabilities?
Sure. There's a couple buckets, I think, of issues that I'm concerned about. One is the impact on kids. The other is the impact on staffing. And the other is the impact on kind of compliance and oversight. So in terms of children, special education services are already underfunded. So we know that any cut to the Department of Education will certainly be felt here in Michigan. And there really would be immediate and far-reaching consequences for children with disabilities and their families. Obviously, I think the greatest impact would be on access to services and potentially being able to serve as many children as we do, or with the same levels of intensity, or with the same credentialed providers. In terms of staffing, again, adequate funding helps us retain and attract highly qualified professionals. And so if we have less funds available, that could lead to lower salaries or fewer positions or fewer providers, which leads to longer wait times or increased caseloads for teachers or service providers. And all of those things really compromise the quality of services that we provide to young children. And then finally, I'm worried about a lack of the oversight that the Department of Education is currently responsible for. They play a key role in monitoring state and local compliance with IDEA, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act. And in there are all sorts of precautions that ensure that children are identified early, evaluated, provided with timely and appropriate services. And without that oversight, I'm concerned that there would be a serious impact on children at the local level.
Yeah, absolutely. And that lack of oversight is something we're hearing across different sectors as well right now. I mean, all of those things you outlined really are, but even in some cases, I've been in some meetings and conversations just recently with people on more of the health and human services side of the equation that have seen just in the recent past significant cuts at the federal level to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And even though some of the funding continues to flow from the feds to the states for some of these programs, there's literally no one to turn in the reports to or to report to and to provide any of that oversight on the correct or adequate use of these funds. And so that's a challenge that I think often gets overlooked when we're talking about just staffing reductions at the federal level, let alone the impact that, as you laid out, that this will have all the way down through the system. So Heather, how about from your end, kind of same question, what are the most immediate consequences that you're concerned about when we talk about levels of cuts to this magnitude?
Absolutely. The most immediate one that's already happened is just the chaos and uncertainty and confusion that's been created for families. You know, we're directly tied into families of kids with disabilities in Michigan schools, and we're fielding calls and a lot of concerns from our core constituents just about what that means for their children. And then we're seeing already direct impacts. So adding on to what Dawn mentioned around U.S. Federal Department of Education staffing reductions, the entire Office for Civil Rights out of Cleveland, which oversees investigations for Michigan, was eliminated. And that includes a current OCR investigation of the whole state of Michigan that was in play. It's been in play for a couple of years now. Around the state's allegation that the state failed to provide appropriate services and supports during pandemic closures, and then the department failed to provide adequate guidance for serving kids with disabilities under federal obligations. The Office for Civil Rights was trying to come to a resolution that was getting stalled by Michigan Department of Ed. And so that's just now, where did that go, right? And then families themselves, that Office for Civil Rights, I believe in 2024, the Office for Civil Rights received over 20,000 complaints, 70% of which connect to disability issues and discrimination. So it's a significant part of ensuring that the access, opportunities, and rights of kids with disabilities are not jeopardized. And we had families in Michigan that had active OCR complaints and investigations, meetings on the calendar. And when those reductions came, those all just went away. And we've been lifting up and trying to talk to federal representatives and lawmakers to say, where do families turn? Families don't know where to turn. I actually just returned last night from Capitol Hill, where we talked with legislative offices, and we keep asking these questions. So this dismantling without any kind of intentionality, any kind of plan, seems very much to be by design, but the uncertainty and chaos it's creating is throwing families into a lot of crisis and kind of spiral and spin. We at Autism Alliance of Michigan saw the need to engage around funding at the statewide level. And so we are actively leading a legislative project to redesign the special education funding formula for Michigan. That was a necessary project before this administration stepped into their role in January of this year. Now more than ever, it's a critical project that stakeholders across Michigan will need to engage in. So, you know, we've got to figure this out for Michigan kids, almost no matter what comes out to be the result of activity at the federal level. That downflow of at least IDEA funding, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, that's $500 million that comes to Michigan. We're not hearing yet that there are expected broad cuts, but even some reductions would be very detrimental. We don't, as a state, have a plan for making up any lost federal revenue, right? And so that $500 million, we want to at least uphold that and ensure that the protections that come with the obligations of receiving federal funds, if that flows down to the states, who at the state level then makes those determinations? So we're looking at it from these kind of strategic structural levels to ensure that kids' right to education is protected.
Absolutely. No, I think you're absolutely right. And the destructuring or the decomposition of the federal government, the federal oversight would require increased funding at the state level for that level of oversight. And nobody's talking about that. And you're right. The level of cuts that are being proposed, not just in this area, but across the board, when we talk about Medicaid and these other things, the state just doesn't have anywhere near the kind of revenue to make up for these. And it's great that you were in D.C. I love to hear it. I was there with some child care providers a couple of weeks ago. And part of the frustration was that is you don't hear any answers from the congressional offices either for a plan for this. And you know, the kind of head in the sand notion is incredibly frustrating. So, Laura, let's jump to you. Same question, kind of what are the most immediate consequences you foresee? But then let's jump into the next one a little bit as well. And how do these federal dollars really support your organization's ability to serve children with disabilities here in Michigan?
Sure. So I think Dawn and Heather really, you know, covered some of those more immediate concerns, the oversight, the funding issues. Those are certainly concerns that we have at our agency and among our advocates. I think in addition to that, when we talk about reducing staff at the Department of Education and potentially moving oversight of IDEA to Health and Human Services, there's also the concern that children with disabilities are now being moved to a medical model if it's under HHS, right? And so the idea that children with disabilities are general education students first and should be included in the classroom and should receive the services that they deserve could be jeopardized due to that. And so we're not necessarily looking at them as learners with potential and more from that, you know, diagnosis standpoint is a concern. Another concern with funding cuts is, you know, some of that funding supports the parent training and information centers in each state. So in Michigan, it's Michigan Alliance for Families. That's critical to families to be able to access resources, not only to understand the special education process, but also, you know, early intervention services for children who in that early developmental period receive those services can have long-standing benefits to their development, to their performance in school, to their success post-secondary and beyond. You know, my own son was a recipient of Early On Services, which is the early intervention program here in Michigan. That critical stage when neuroplasticity can be capitalized on has really proven beneficial for him. So the amount of intervention he requires now that he's older is less, I believe, than had he not had access to that funded service when he was an infant and toddler. As far as how the funds, you know, impact our agency's work, we do receive a state grant that is IDEA funded. So it's funneled through the state and then distributed to us to provide advocacy services to families. So that's certainly a concern. You know, us being able to help educate families about the special education process, their rights, it kind of goes along with the oversight as well. If we do encounter an issue, who's in charge of that now? And it may not be equitable, you know, across all states. And students deserve to have that equity regardless of where they live. So I could see that impacting if we're talking locally and in Michigan, you know, we have the Michigan Department of Education, but really the U.S. Department of Education is our oversight. And if we don't have that, what recourse do we have to ensure our students with disabilities are receiving the supports and services necessary to thrive?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, so let's jump into a little bit of this, maybe a little bit more specifically around some areas that people are maybe more familiar with. And Laura mentioned early on, Dawn, as you know, I mean, early on has been a big advocacy priority for Michigan's children. And we've worked with a number of other early childhood advocates to try to get further state investment into our early on, our IDEA Part C program in Michigan. But what might significant funding reductions from the federal government mean for early intervention services, you know, at Oakland schools and really around the state? And furthermore, even for older kids, access to individualized education plans or IEPs, which we know are a critical component of our education system for a lot of kids as well.
Right. I mean, as I mentioned in my first comments, that any cuts would be detrimental because these systems are adequately underfunded as it is. Here at Oakland Schools, we receive both IDEA Part C funds, which is our early intervention funds, and Part B, what we call Section 619, which are the funds that are specifically related to preschool age children. And while those funds aren't intended to fully fund the special education services that young children need, which is why we've relied upon Michigan's Children to help us advocate for an increased state investment, they certainly provide a significant portion of those funds. I know that here at Oakland Schools, I specifically use some of my IDEA federal funds to fund teachers or speech therapists who are providing direct services to children. And so while I have not yet been preparing for a federal cut, what I'm really worried about is if, in fact, the money comes to the state, we don't really have a mechanism to distribute that efficiently and quickly. And my grant funds this year end June 30. And so June 30 is right around the corner. So do we have a way that those federal funds can be disseminated in a timely manner? You know, the clock doesn't stop in early childhood for families who have concerns about their children's disability. Early on is year-round. We do evaluations year-round. We provide services year-round. And so that's the thing that I'm a little bit worried about right now, is are we going to have a system in place so that we have a way to distribute those funds if something happens federally and those are moved to Michigan. So, you know, those federal dollars really allow us to serve more children and serve children earlier. And we know that early intervention makes a difference, not just in the early years and not even just in school, but in life. And so we want to maintain all of those funds and a mechanism to bring those into the communities to fund the services.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely, I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And I mean, even from a broader sense, I mean, this uncertainty and chaos that's playing out at the federal level right now has essentially stalled our state budget process, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the legislature keeps plugging along, but there's no reality to any of this until there's some certainty from the federal government as to what funding levels are going to be. And so that's just going to further exacerbate this concern for schools especially, but for everybody as we head into, you know, the summer and next fall without any real certainty on what budgets are going to look like. So Heather, how about from your standpoint? I mean, you and I have sat at several tables over the past years arguing and talking about how there is wholly inadequate support and funding across all levels for special education services. But what would a reduction or a significant reduction in federal funding mean for IEPs and special education services in general?
I think it goes back to something that Laura lifted up, that first and foremost, let's just think of all kids as whole children, right? And they have a right. This is a protected class, children with disabilities that are eligible to receive specialized services and supports. They have a right to that access to the learning environment, a free, appropriate public education, and there's an idea around it being the least restrictive environment. That's a term that gets used. So LRE. And many kids, the reason early childhood is so important too, is because that's often the pipeline, right? That where we do identify a lot of children that do require specialized supports and services, but then that decision-making process that goes through that team effort that includes the family, that's where we start to set the trajectory for a long-term kind of path towards the outcomes. And we know in Michigan, unfortunately, our educational system outcomes, in part because we have underfunded the system for decades, we are not doing well across almost every meaningful measure in the state, including preschool inclusion. We're one of the worst states for preschool inclusion. Our on-time graduation rates for students with IEPs is one of the lowest in the nation. Our dropout rate, 22% of students with disabilities exit the system without an education. They drop out. That's a crisis. We're overusing alternate assessment paths. So I use those examples to say funding is a root cause issue. It's not the only variable that affects this. We have to make better decisions. We need strong leadership. We need to raise expectations and build a system that rises to support kids in the ways that they need to meet those outcomes and improve them. There's a lot that goes into it, but fundamentally, what do you do without resources, right? So I bring it back, Matt, to that path of just from every stage, every point, what is critical around the federal obligation, and also, by the way, the state obligation, because we've instituted those same expectations and rules and state statute, is child find. We have to find the children. If we don't support a system that can appropriately find the children, and then we don't have a system that can respond to their needs, we're just going to keep digging a deeper and deeper hole. And so that's why we've really focused on finance reform in the state. We're strong advocates at the federal and state level for no reductions in funding. We want to see increases. But what the Autism Alliance is also calling for is really targeted interventions, targeted plans and approaches. Yes, we need more money, but we need to put money in the places where it matters to serve kids and families. And oh, by the way, when we serve kids, we're actually supporting the school infrastructure that is educating them, right? The teachers, the service providers. And that path so often does begin in that early stage of early on and preschool education.
Absolutely. No, and I think you're absolutely right. And I think what's important for people to realize is these efforts that the Autism Alliance has been a real champion and leading on, and other groups have been a part of, and are all built on the notion, you know, a kind of a layered system, but the expectation that the federal system is not going to be dismantled in 2 months and go away, and funding's going to go away. We're making some inroads, not as fast as we'd like to at the state level and addressing some of these issues, but it's based on this cornerstone of the federal government being there in the way that it has been and supporting these efforts. And so, I mean, it impacts everything that we're talking about or that we've been working on for several years now. So, Laura, from your vantage point, building off of what Heather just talked about, but from your vantage point, what does this signal, this idea that we can dismantle the U.S. Department of Education and make it go away? What does this signal about the government's priorities when it comes to disability inclusion and really support in public education?
Well, I think obviously it feels from an advocacy perspective that inclusion may not be a priority. And for those of us who are working in this space, that's certainly something we advocate for on a daily basis, right? Inclusion in the classroom with the right supports, but also inclusion in our society. So, you know, school and beyond. And it does concern me if we cut funding, if we then have to increase class sizes, if we then have to remove specialists from the school system, if we no longer are providing our special education teachers with training, you know, which is funded, some of which through federal monies, then what system do we have to ensure inclusion? I do worry about segregation again. I worry about institutionalization of children with disabilities. I worry that without the proper funding and supports, the proper training for not only teachers, but families as well, to understand the system and their rights, I worry that we are going to slide backward and we're going to lose decades of progress as it pertains to inclusion of students with disabilities, not only in our classrooms, but in our society as a whole.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'll say this, we at Michigan's Children, and I know all of you, and I know there's thousands more, if not hundreds of thousands more like us, are going to fight with all that we can to make sure that that doesn't happen. So in that vein, Dawn, what should parents, educators, and advocates in Michigan be doing right now to protect these services for children with disabilities amid these proposed cuts?
Well, I think one thing we can all do is reach out to our lawmakers and make sure that they understand how critical this work is, and also our desire to keep the protections of the Department of Education in the Department of Education are not in disrespect to any other department. I admire the work that my other colleagues do from other perspectives, but things like IDEA are deeply rooted in education and in our public school system. And I believe we have to help people understand why that should be, whether or not a child is considered a student with a disability or has access to services should not vary based on where they live, what state in the country they live in. This should be something that every American child, you know, has a right to. So I think we need to talk with lawmakers. I think we need to make sure that families are connected with advocacy organizations, because that family voice, sharing their experiences with others, is so important. And our advocacy organizations are so helpful in giving parents the confidence to speak up and to share their stories. I also think that I've had some conversations with personal friends and family members too. I think sometimes people just don't have the understanding that we have based on our professional experiences. And it's really important that we just all talk and we talk together and lift our voices in unison to make sure that we're being heard.
Absolutely. All right, Heather, how about from your standpoint, what do you want people who are listening to this podcast to know, and what should they be doing right now to help us stave off some of this stuff?
Absolutely. I'll plus one or plus many times what Don said about reaching out to lawmakers, because that one is so critical at this time, both at the federal and the state level. And just picking up that vein of connecting families to organizations, the Autism Alliance of Michigan is the lead organization for a statewide, student-centered, non-apologetic effort, a statewide coalition of growing to almost 400 members, all areas, including the UP, of students, parents, advocates, and special education attorneys. It's called MyPAC. And that is a space to kind of fortify each other, to learn about updates, to learn about opportunities. So that's one way that families can connect. Another is to, I know it's a tough lane, it's a complex lane, but we are leading the Special Education Finance Project right now. That is so critical. And we want people to be engaged with the process. So all of these kinds of opportunities, if people want to connect with Autism Alliance online, aaomi.org, under education, they can find all of these options. But it really is about being in shared space, being together in community, because it's such trying times, trying to stay up to date with accurate, valid information, and then translating that to the opportunities and actions that we can take together.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll share those resources as well at michiganschildren.org. Laura, anything to add as far as advocacy tips for or ways for parents, educators, advocates, and others listening to this to get engaged around these issues?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Don and Heather hit on some really big ones. And I would also say, parents, reach out to your local advocacy agencies. If you have an ARC in your community, reach out to that chapter. Find out about opportunities to join leadership positions, whether that's at your local level. You could be a parent advisory committee member at your local school district or within your ISD, your county. Other options to join committees and coalitions, so that not only are you connecting with others, you're up to date on the issues, but there's a concerted effort toward advocating for our children with disabilities here in Michigan. And, you know, I'll say you can go to the ARC of the United States. It's thearc.org. and sign up for their newsletter, they will send action alerts. So there are real easy ways to get involved and, you know, contact legislators, but also other methods of getting involved. And it kind of simplifies the process because this can be overwhelming for a lot of families and it's coming quickly. And so, you know, taking advantage of those resources, I think makes it a doable action step for parents and families here in Michigan.
Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank everybody who tuned in and listened today. I want to thank certainly Dawn Koger, Heather Eckner, and Laura Sauer for their expertise and for joining us today to talk about this very important issue. And most importantly, to thank them for the work that they do every day in helping making Michigan's children and families thrive and making Michigan a better state to be a kid and to raise a family. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. I'm Matt Gillard, the president and CEO of Michigan's Children. This has been Speaking for Kids, the podcast brought to you by Michigan's Children. And please check out michiganschildren.org, where you can learn more about this information and access other resources and advocacy tools to help us all engage with our elected officials and lawmakers so that we can continue to push for a better Michigan for all of us. Thanks and have a good day.
You've been listening to Speaking for Kids, the podcast for Michigan's Children with host Matt Gillard. Thanks for joining us. To explore these and other issues relevant to our state's children, youth, and families, and to build your advocacy muscle, go to our website at www.michiganschildren.org. You'll find links and news about past and future podcast topics under our Resource tab and action alerts under the Take Action tab. Find and like us on Facebook and Twitter. And Stephen Wallace produced this podcast. Contact them with your questions and ideas for other topics. Michigan's Children is a nonprofit advocacy organization, an independent voice working to reduce disparities in child outcomes from cradle to career through policy change.